Saturday of the first week of ordinary time. The first reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, 12 to 14. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. The Word of the Lord. Dear family, the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And St. Paul tells us that he is living and effective now as it's always been. Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we see that through the Word, the whole creation came to be. That's how living and effective it is. God says the Word, and out of nothing, everything becomes. So that Word, the Word of God, became flesh, lived with us, and now is coming to you as you hear me. It's the Word of God penetrating like a two-edged sword. Sharper than a two-edged sword. What does two-edged means? Well, the same sword can bring salvation for those who receive it and condemnation for those who don't. Remember the prophecy of Simeon to Mary? This child will be a sign of contradiction for the rise and fall of many. And so according to how we receive the Word of God, we will be transformed and divinized and joined with him as one to participate of the life of the Trinity forever, or we will be condemned. It says that it is penetrating between soul and spirit. In this understanding of soul, it means our natural capacities. In this sense, we can say that animals have souls. It only means that they are a living entity, that they have this source of life in them. So do we. We have this natural life in us. But we also have spirit. And in this sense, spirit means our capacity to communicate and be one with God. And so the sword penetrates between those two. And what this means is that it helps us to distinguish what comes from our natural tendencies, what comes actually from our flesh, and what comes from our relationship with God. What is truly sacred? What is truly from God? The Word of God will let us know, because it penetrates so deep. Joints and marrow are the most hidden, deepest part of the human person. And it even penetrates there. It sees it all. Everything is naked, visible to the Lord, whether we want it or not. However, if we willingly expose ourselves to God, if we allow the Word to penetrate into our being, then our whole being will participate of God. If we try to hide, God still sees everything, still knows everything, but through our resistance, we are condemning ourselves. Now, the good news also here is that this sword of God, the Word of God, who is Christ, is the great high priest, because he is not just confined to going to the Holy of Holies in the temple. He went up to the highest heaven, and he is in the presence of God. He's one with God. And so we have this high priest, which is Jesus, there advocating for us. And so he sympathizes with us because he has experienced our weaknesses and he has been tested in every way. He also knows what temptation is. Now, many Christians think that Jesus was human, but after he resurrected, he went to heaven and is no longer human. That is a great mistake. Jesus assumed the humanity, our humanity, and he is human now as well. And when we go to heaven, we will continue to be human. In matter of fact, Jesus Christ is the new Adam. He is the model of what we are all meant to be. And so in him, we become fully human and fully alive. Now let us go to the gospel of today. It's from Mark. Chapter 2, from 13 to 17. Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the custom post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes, who were Pharisees, saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, tax collectors were despised by the Jews. I mean, in any part of history, nobody likes tax collectors, but to make it even worse, these tax collectors were supporting the Roman government who was oppressing the Jews. So they were perceived as traitors. And they knew it. And they felt that they were like outcasts, but they did it because they enjoyed the benefits of a better economic life. Jesus does not give up on anybody. Jesus did not come for the pious and the righteous. He came for all. Now, if we think that we're so holy already, we are the ones who exclude ourselves from his company, like the Pharisees did, because it bothers us some of the things that Jesus does. And this is something to beware. When we see in the world today so much going on so much sin, so much evil, the culture of death, we might be tempted to perceive the world in two camps, the small remnant who is with God and then the damned humanity. And we want nothing to do with them, but isolate ourselves with them. Well, we cannot do that because Jesus loves everyone and he wants everyone to be part of his body. And we must believe those people who seem so lost, God wants them home. And we have seen amazing conversions. We have to believe and have hope in that. So there is going to be a great resurgence of faith after this time of trials and tribulation. And so we have to prepare the way. We have to be warriors like Jesus is, calling people to him. And I think this is the great teaching of the gospel today. Do we evangelize, or we have just given up on some family members, some friends, as hopeless cases? They might turn out to be great apostles ahead of us. May the Lord bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.